Casey Corcoran Podcast.
How's your home, family? How's your home, family? How's your home, family? How is your whole family? How's your home?
How's your home,
family? How's your home?
How's your home,
family? How's your home?
How's your home,
family? How is your whole family? How's your dick?
How's your dick?
Tation machine, how's your dick?
How's your dick?
Tation machine, how's your dick?
How's your dick?
Tation machine,
how is your dick?
Tation machine, take your pants down.
How?
To the cleaners today, take your pants down.
How?
To the cleaners today, take your pants down.
How?
To the cleaners today,
take your pants down to the cleaners today.
Won't you do my ass?
Won't you do his ass?
Trilogical chart, won't you my ass?
Come on, baby, won't you do his ass?
Trilogical chart, won't you do my ass?
Won't you do his ass?
Trilogical chart,
won't you do my astrological chart?
How's your hole?
How's your hole?
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, March 9th. 2022, 251 days remaining in our American democratic system. As we have known it, you are at jcontheline.com. Hi. I want to start with this Major League Baseball story right off the bat. I really was expecting, I woke up this morning, to have some sort of bulletin or something about the all-night bargaining session and stuff like that. Late last night, I posted, I said, I'm very careful about stuff like this, which I am, but I believe that there's going to be a resolution to the Major League Baseball lockout sometime in the next 36 hours. And I said, possibly is early as tomorrow morning. Well, here we are at tomorrow morning and there's still nothing, but I'm sticking with my story on this. I believe there's definitely something going on. There's something going on between the owners and the Players Association, and I'm sticking with this prediction that this thing is going to be over sometime by, I don't know, tomorrow night, maybe tomorrow midday, somewhere in there. So let's just see what happens. In the meantime, Aaron Rodgers, big story breaks yesterday afternoon that he has signed a four-year, $200 million deal with the Packers, and then later on in the day, he denied it. So I don't know where the story is right now. And then the big blockbuster thing involving Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos, you already know about that. Deion Sanders had to have two toes amputated, which is chronicled, I guess you'd say, in the new episode of his online show, Coach Prime. I was reading up on the story and somebody said, you know, when they take off your first two toes, it's only a matter of time when they have to take off the entire foot. So let's see what happens there. And the most interesting story of the day, as far as I'm concerned, is this thing about Jay-Z that broke overnight. Jay-Z apparently threatened to end his partnership with the NFL if they didn't approve this year's hip-hop halftime show at the Super Bowl. Snoop Dogg said, quote, for Jay to go to bat for us and tell the NFL, fuck that, they perform or I quit. That was the most gangster shit coming out of everything, end quote. And before you ask, I'm not opening the Schnucks panic aisle yet. We'll see what happens. I want to see the update with the weather a little bit later on today and especially tomorrow. But at this point, the timing would favor snow falling in the St. Louis area and across the Midwest right about the time you get up on Friday morning. And it doesn't look like it's going to amount to much, but you know how it is. If it starts snowing, especially if it snows hard, which it may do for a short period of time, and it happens while people are driving to work, I don't have to tell you what that's going to be like. So let's just see how it all shakes out. But that would be Friday morning right about 6 a.m. The Blues, I don't know what to say anymore.
Now the Blues in their own zone. Barbashev at the line. Stolen. Brady Tkachuk comes in, shoots, and he scores! And Tkachuk has finally scored against the Blues.
There you go. Final score 4-1. Last night as the Senators dominate the Blues. So I have to play the Rangers tomorrow. The other big story is the rising gas prices, and they're going to continue to rise. We talked about this yesterday and really the day before, and it appears that Joe Biden has determined that the American people are so behind Ukraine that some of these new policies with regard to importing Russian oil are going to drive the prices up even higher. And people are like, yeah, if it means choking off Putin, then we're okay with it. But these stories are just incredible. You know, the Ukrainians took down the road signs because they thought it would confuse the Russians. The Russians wouldn't know where they were. And that appeared to work pretty well, frankly. There are steel companies in Ukraine that were making pots and pans. And now they're making those tank barriers to put in the intersections to mess up the Russians trying to continue the invasion. Kamala Harris is going to be in Poland and a couple of other countries in that part of the world here for the next couple of days, just showing support. And the United States continues to walk this fine line where it's like, we are behind Ukraine. We are going to supply this, then we're going to supply that. But we're not going to go too far because Putin, I think people have finally figured out, is capable of pretty much anything. And we don't want to start World War III. And as I pointed out, I believe on Monday, I think when this story is written, it will turn out that historians will write that World War III actually did begin in late February of 2022. I hope I'm wrong, but it's what it looks like from here. And the heavy artillery, in terms of psychological warfare and choking off the Russian economy, continues. McDonald's, Starbucks, all pulling out of Russia. You know, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We had an intern back around, I think it was like 99, 2000, right in there, 2001. His name was Andrew. We started calling him Prince Andrew. And he was a very tall, thin guy who had a religious background. It was an eye-opening experience for him working on our show. You know, a young, impressionable guy. And when he left our show, he moved to Ukraine on some sort of faith-based humanitarian type deal. I'm not really sure what it was, a missionary, I guess technically is what it was. And so he lived there for a couple of years and he used to send me a note every once in a while telling me what it was like. And, you know, it's like any other country in that part of the world. It depends on where you are. If you're in one of the cities, that's one thing. If you're out in the country, away from the major population centers, it is a completely different thing. It's just mud. And at the same time, when you look at the history of that country and everything that, you know, all of their sort of, I guess you'd say, natural resources, some of the richest farmland in the world is in Ukraine. So I have a little bit of a perspective on that part of the world that I wouldn't have had if he hadn't told me the things that he told me over the course of a couple of years. So I know a little bit about that. And then as far as Russia is concerned, again, this was 1990, and we had all these wacky ideas. And this was back in the days when radio stations, you know, big companies, big stations, and we worked at a couple of them in St. Louis. You know, if you came up with a good idea, like, well, it's the silver anniversary of the Beatles, can we go to the Abbey Road studios and broadcast live from London for a week? And they were like, yeah, actually, that sounds pretty cool. And so we did. So then after the fall of communism and the Berlin Wall came down and all that sort of stuff, you know, there was a period of about 18 18 months there where you could go in and out of the former Soviet Union. And so somebody at the station suggested we do it, and they said, yeah, that would be cool. And so we went. I was only in my late 30s, and it's a good thing, too, because I don't know if I would have done it if I was a little bit older, because I knew too much, you know. But when you're young and stupid, and they say you want to go to Moscow for a week, you're like, sure, let's go. Although there's a little tingle way, way, way back in the recesses of your mind where you're thinking to yourself, what if they just throw me in a Russian jail and nobody ever hears from me again? They don't even know where I am. But if you're going to a place like Russia and you're trying to do radio, you can't think like that. You just got to let it fly, which is what we did. We figured that we were being followed quite a bit. They gave us a government-issued tour guide. It was a woman in her probably late 50s, early 60s, and you could tell she worked for the government. And she was actually very nice to us, but you could tell it would be like on the left side of the bus, there would be just like complete destruction and poverty and stuff like that. But she'd get on the little microphone of the bus and go, look to the right side, beautiful church. You know, then every time you got off this little tour bus that they had, all these little kids, like I'm talking about 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, come running up to the bus trying to sell you porcelain box, porcelain box. It's all they could say. They didn't understand any English. And the boxes were nice, you know, but I had already at that point, you know, purchased about 20 of them because I was taking them back home for souvenirs, you know. I don't have any left now. I don't know what happened to any, all of them. I think I gave them all away, but I wish I had held on to a couple, maybe somewhere in my basement somewhere. But, you know, these little porcelain boxes, and you know, their money was useless. Their money, the rubles, were useless at that time. And so all they wanted to get what they called hard currency, which meant American dollars. They wanted to get their hands on real money, and they knew that we had it. And so anything they could throw at us that we might buy as a souvenir, that gave them quote unquote hard currency, American dollars. Food was terrible. Absolutely awful. They tried to present it to us as like a cultural experience. You're going to try real Russian food. And they had that borscht. That stuff looks like somebody drank too much wine and then coughed it up into a bowl or something. I didn't like that stuff at all. We had been warned ahead of time that you might not like the food, and it might be a good idea to bring along 20 or 30 cans of tuna, which is what we did. I ate more tuna that week than any point in my life. And it was a good thing, too, because otherwise we would have starved. And you couldn't drink the water. Everybody was like, don't drink the water. There were impurities. And I guess it was really bad in St. Petersburg. But in Moscow, they were like, it's probably not a good idea. Now, they put us in this hotel that was, I wouldn't call it plush. It reminded me very much of a dormitory. And so we were living in that. There was like nothing in the room. Absolutely nothing. A bed and a table or something, and that was it. You go into the bathroom and the towels were like hand towels from somebody's kitchen. You know, when you stay in a hotel in this country, it's like one of the nice things is like they usually have really, really nice towels. Even in hotels that are not that expensive, the towels are still nice. And again, we're in this place and they're like, where's the bath towels? And like, those are the bath towels. It was that actual like hand towels from a kitchen. You go downstairs and in the lobby of the hotel slash dormitory, there was some sort of hockey tournament going on and the Russians were playing. And so a lot of people were gathered around watching hockey on TV. And by the way, this was in the middle of the day. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday and they're playing hockey and everybody's standing around in the lobby watching this. I never did completely understand that. At night, when we went back to the hotel, there were prostitutes all over the hotel and all over our floor. You could hear them sort of, you know, going in and out of the rooms, and there's a lot of noise down at one end of the hallway, and you could see what was going on. The girls, by the way, didn't seem, you know, like forlorn in any way. They seemed like they were sort of enjoying themselves, although I'm sure that wasn't really the case, but at least they projected that image to somebody like me. They're really proud of their churches. It's really the only architecture that is attractive. You know, the pictures and videos that you always see are of the big, you know, city square there with those beautiful buildings that look like a giant soft serve cone. And they have all those fancy colors and St. Peter's Basilica and all that sort of stuff. That's the stuff you see on TV. The other 99% of the country, the buildings all look like government, municipal type buildings in this country. You know, like when you go to get your license renewed, or you go to the Social Security office or something like that. You know how those buildings, they're just sort of that, you know, grayish concrete. There's no color and there's just no creativity to the architecture. That's what 99% of Moscow looks like. The cars are like these little go-karts, these little things. I don't even know what to compare them to. We got in a couple of taxis a couple of times. It's like getting into the back of a Yugo. Remember those cars? Those Yugos, those tiny little things, they're like go-karts. And, you know, the guy's driving, the taxi driver's driving, and your face is like 8 inches from his. And again, they wanted money. They wanted hard currency. Or, and this was sort of tough for me as a sort of militant non-smoker, we took several cartons of cigarettes along with us, too. Again, we were all tipped off to all of this before we went. And they're like, look, that's the way they need soap, deodorant, shampoo, cigarettes. Bring, you know, like one extra suitcase and fill that suitcase with as much of that kind of stuff as possible, because that's really what they want. So that's what we did. You'd get to the end of your ride in a taxi and you give the guy two packages of cigarettes. Every day when we left the room, you know, and then we knew the maids were coming in, you know, we'd leave them, you know, soap and shampoo and stuff like that. And they were crazy about that stuff. And then the weird thing was on Sunday, like, oh, yeah, on Sunday, everybody goes to the department stores in downtown Moscow. We're like, oh, well, this will be interesting. So we went, and there were, you know, pictures of Paulina Poroshkova, famous Russian supermodel, married to Rick Ocasek of the Cars, of course. And again, this was 1990, so this was, you know, she was big stuff back then. She was giant pictures of her in the department store windows. So you go in there and it's crowded. It's just, it looked like the crowd like going into a blues game or something. You know, people just, you know, shoulder to shoulder going in to these malls and going up and down escalators and everything. You go in and out of the stores. There's nothing in the stores. There's a couple of things in the window at street level, but you go actually into the stores and there was a mall with nothing in it. You're like, what are we doing here? But I mean, I'm glad I saw it now in retrospect, because you're like, what a weird thing. But I guess it all goes back to that strange take that the Russians have on employment situations. Because I remember the old joke, this was the old days of Lech Walesa back in the early 1980s. And the joke was that the guys in the factory in Russia said, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us, you know, because the money was worth, you know, nothing. I'm looking for this Putin joke. Yesterday, I got to find this. Here it is. Okay, here's the joke. A Moscow man buys a newspaper, glances at the front page, throws it away. Next day, same thing. This goes on for days. Eventually, the newspaper guy asks, why do you keep doing that? He says, oh, I'm just checking for an obituary. And the guy says, but obituaries aren't on the front page. And the guy says, the one I'm looking for will be. We took in a little bit of the nightclub action. I will never forget walking in. They were big on the Beatles, really big on the Beatles. The bus drivers, and we did a lot of our transportation that way, just on these city buses. And you'd have a guy with a cassette player, but not installed in the dash. It was just like taped to his dashboard, and they always had Beatles music playing. We went into a club and the guy was singing JoJo is a Man from Tucson, Arizona. Well, again, you know, you look at it and it's like, looks like Tucson. That's what the guy sang. And then one Sunday afternoon, they took us to the Russian circus. Now, you know how I feel about circuses and especially clowns, right? So I didn't want to go. Well, that would have been a big mistake, because it was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen, because instead of clowns and stuff like that, and, you know, some guy with a rod beating the shit out of a tiger or a lion or something, it was a lot of acrobatics. And let me tell you, they are good. They are really good. There was one woman, she was just this tight, muscular little thing. She appeared to be in her early 20s, and she was on this trapeze, and one of the male clown type guys, they had this routine worked out where he was sort of like following her around, and she was doing all these facial expressions while all this incredible acrobatic stuff was going on. It really was something. And then there was the Moscow news. Again, this is another one of those things that we were tipped off to. And that is that from about noon to 1 o'clock every day, there's probably 300 or 400 guys all standing out in front of the Moscow News in downtown Moscow. And they all have newspapers in their hand. They all stand around and argue politics. And they're just, you know, it's like 200 different conversations going on. And so we just sort of weaved our way through that crowd. We talked to a couple of those guys. That was very, very funny, very entertaining. And the Russian people were incredibly curious about the United States. And at the same time, they wanted to tell us how much they knew about the United States. Some of what they thought they knew was a little bit convoluted, as you're going to hear in a minute. Well, let's go ahead and play this now. We went along with this guy by the name of John McCook. John McCook was the president of the St. Louis area Greater Consortium of McDonald's restaurants. And he was one of these guys who really bought into the whole McDonald's thing. You're going to think I'm making this up, and I'm not. And I'm not exaggerating. This guy had like a McDonald's tie, a McDonald's shirt, McDonald's hat, McDonald's cufflinks, a McDonald's belt buckle, McDonald's socks, McDonald's everything. And he was very proud of the fact that at, I don't know, something like age 45 or something like that, he gave up his previous career and wanted to open a McDonald's franchise in the St. Louis area. And they're like, okay, but you, the way this works is that you have to start from the bottom. Now, I remember along the Northwest Hallway in Chicago, coming back and forth from Chicago to Rockford all the time because my parents lived in Chicago and I was working in Rockford in the 1970s. So I'd be up and down that Northwest Highway all the time. And you'd go past this place that said McDonald's U, as in university. And I always asked people about it. Nobody seemed to know a lot about it, but you'd go by and, well, later on you learn that, yeah, it's exactly, you'd be a McDonald's franchise owner. You got to go to school and learn the McDonald's way of doing things because they're very, very persnickety about stuff like that. So he had done all that. He was very proud of the fact that he, you know, had to push a broom at age 45. And work the counter and work, you know, work the kitchen and do all that sort of stuff. He's walking around with a broom at age 45, and he loved telling that story. He was a great guy, a little obsessed with McDonald's, but interesting nonetheless. So this was right after they opened the very first of what turned out to be 860 McDonald's restaurants across the former Soviet Union, all closed, by the way. McDonald's, by the way, says they're going to pay the employees, even though they're closing down the restaurants. We'll see how long they can continue to do that. But this was the very first McDonald's in Moscow, and that's one of the reasons we went along. We sort of had a multi-purpose reason for going to Moscow. So the combination of the fall of communism for about 18 months there, along with our McDonald's connection, and just the fact that the world suddenly was seeing the former Soviet Union opened up a little bit, and we were supposed to be your eyes and your ears.
And we're at the McDonald's, and we got Victor, our interpreter, here. First of all, you've been to McDonald's several times, right?
Yeah, I've been here 5 times or 6 times, and I enjoyed every time.
How about you, Ray? You've been a communist for a long time. And
I've never seen anything quite like the sight you see when you walk in and see how huge and cavernous this McDonald's is. It's not like any McDonald's anyone else has ever seen.
Yeah. All right, Victor, let's see if we can talk to some of these folks here. Let's see if we can have these two young gals here. Could you explain what we're doing here?
Это американская радиостанция, и мы хотели взять у вас небольшое интервью насчет McDonald's.
Well, he threw her for a loop, Victor. Are you sure you told her what we're doing, or did you make something up?
I did.
Well, let's ask the first question.
Так, первый вопрос такой.
How long she's been in line here?
Вы сколько уже в очереди стоите приблизительно?
6 minutes.
Six minutes. Oh, good. That's very good.
In English, yeah.
Okay, Victor, take a hike. We don't need you. Let's ask her if she's ever had food from McDonald's before.
Вы уже раньше в McDonald's были здесь?
No.
No.
What do you expect? What do you think a hamburger from McDonald's will taste like?
I don't know about McDonald's. I want to visit this restaurant.
Good morning, St. Louis. Good afternoon, Moscow time.
Добрый день.
Now, this is the guy, in case you're wondering who Bob Abernathy is, when Tom Brokaw is sitting there at NBC News in New York or Washington, wherever he happens to be, and says, for the report, let's go to Moscow. You're the guy.
I'm the guy. I'm the guy in the morning. I'm the guy at night. And I'm the guy who doesn't see my family.
And you always have to get the cameraman to get you in the shot, and then like St. Basil's Cathedral or Lenin's Tomb in the back.
Greatest stand-up locations in the world.
What are some of the other great background shots as a reporter that you do?
All around the Kremlin, from a bridge, a couple of bridges over the Moscow River.
How about that giant swimming pool out there that we saw the other day? Is that the wildest thing you have ever seen? There's a swimming pool.
You know what
pool.
That used to be?
What?
That used to be the cathedral. Stalin blew it up.
He blew it up and left the hole, and they filled it with water, and it's a year-round swimming pool.
That's right.
Раньше смотрели, видели какие-нибудь фильмы с его участием?
С Рейганом.
He saw a piece with Reagan, but he... Вы помните название фильма?
Фильмы не помню, но отдельные клипы показывали по телевидению у нас с Рейганом.
We had a TV show, and they had some pieces, some videos about with Reagan taking part in them.
Did they see with a monkey, with a chimpanzee?
Вы видели его с обезьяной, с манки, с шимпанзе?
Нет.
No.
Ask him if he's a sports fan.
Вы любите спорт?
Да, я люблю спорт.
Yes.
Does he know anything about American sports figures?
Вы думаете, вы знаете что-нибудь об американских спортсменах известных?
Ну, я знаю Джо Луис Паттерсон.
Джо Луис Паттерсон.
Чак Норрис.
Чак Норрис.
Sports figure, Chuck Norris.
Я думаю, что Чак Норрис. Он бы проиграл в Советском Союзе.
Чак Норрис, if he came to the Soviet Union, he would not win if he came to the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Because in the Soviet Union we have a lot of karate schools.
Карате гораздо
and they are better.
Более высокого стиля.
Better than United States.
Hey, gang, this is JC, and Wednesday on The Breakfast Club, live from the Soviet Union, we talk with a Moscow radio disc jockey.
People like very much classic rock. Actually, I got a couple of telephone calls. They say, why don't you really give the teenagers the stuff we've been raised on, like Rolling Stones, The Doors, The Beatles, 10 years after Santana, this type of music.
And we talked to the Soviet citizens in line at the Moscow McDonald's.
Would you have any kind of a message for the American people?
Вы бы хотели, чтобы мы передали американским людям, вот пока вы сейчас даете интервью?
Ну, чтобы побольше у нас, наверное, таких кафе было, чтобы не было таких очередей, чтобы мы свободно могли прийти.
Plus, the Moscow correspondent for NBC News, Bob Abernathy, checked in.
We have an apartment. We live in an apartment furnished by the government.
Is it up to your expectations?
Oh, yeah.
Can we stay there?
And we saw some kid in front of the Moscow News building wearing a Chicago Cubs jersey.
No, I don't know.
Tell him that the Chicago Cubs have been a losing team since 1908.
Эта команда с 1908 года не выиграла ни одного соревнования.
We'll see you back in St. Louis Monday. До свидания from JC and Joe and the Breakfast Club.
Moral of the story, the Russian people were wonderful. And, you know, you go through an experience like that and you realize, this is really the Kremlin versus the White House. That's where the problems are, because I got no gripe with the people. And in fact, the Russian people right now aren't even being told what's going on. They said most of the population of Russia doesn't even know there's a war going on right now. There's just everything's cut off in terms of any useful information or anything that's true or accurate right now. I don't know how this whole thing's going to turn out, but watching the people of Ukraine try to save their country and try to save their lives as they know them is one of the most remarkable things any of us are ever going to see. And with that, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, March 9th, 2022, 251 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, absolutely free. Everything is archived. You may email me at jc@jconline.com. On Facebook, you can find us the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Keep us in the top 10 of all podcasts here in these good old United States. That's where we are right now, and it's because you have spread the word. We appreciate it. Continue to do so. Back tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.